Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Lulz is back after a hiatus last week. You know, we don't have a ton planned for today. We are going to chop it up about some Battle Royale stuff. Brian in the in-game syndicate has been deep in the lab trying to solve that game. We do have a little DFS drama that we can hit on and whatever else pops up. If you guys got questions and you're watching live, drop them in the chat. And as always, you guys can let us know any topic ideas in the Lulz channel on Discord. This is Pete and Brick with Lulz. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian, it's been a while. I was traveling last week, so no Lulz. How was week one DFS for you?
I got smoked.
Me too.
You did too? It sounds like a lot of people did. My cash team was okay on Yahoo, but...
I like that. That's where you always say you have the most success, like Yahoo Cash.
Yeah. It's a lot tougher than it used to be. But
yeah,
those side sites were great. There was what were the Fantasy Aces? Remember that one went under. The one I liked the most, I can't remember the name of it. What was it called? Oh my god, it closed during COVID. They went rake free, and that turned out to be a big mistake. It's like,
yeah,
what was that site called? Fantasy something. Fantasy Draft? I think it was fantasydraft.com. Yeah,
weren't they trying to sponsor our show at one point?
Were they?
Or is that another site? There was one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that site. I crushed that site. It was so great.
I was just going to say, does Yahoo do any of the like free roll, or not free roll, but like the rake free tournaments like they were for a while? They do?
They do some stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. They had some good momentum, I felt like, for a while, because they even got me playing over there consistently, because it was like every single week. And then what was the other wrinkle? They include the Sunday night game in their main slate?
Yeah, they stopped doing that, though.
Yeah.
They stopped doing that. They have best ball, too. I don't know if you knew that.
I do. Yeah, I do know that. I think it was my guy, I had Bill Barnwell on from ESPN, and he's a big best ball grinder, but he'll go grind on all the side sites. And I think he gets a lot of volume down on Yahoo and FanDuel.
That makes sense, actually. I bet that's a good strategy.
What was I going to ask? Man, I forget. Oh, I feel like I haven't heard. Is anyone playing DFS on FanDuel this year? I heard they like changed their scoring. I haven't seen a single screenshot, a single salary, a single tournament. Are people playing over there?
I imagine so. I'm not playing there right now. That's a good question. I mean, anyone watching you, you back on the FanDuel. The scoring system change is like whatever. It sucks for people who use FanDuel scoring system on Underdog, though, because now it's not the same.
Yeah. Well, there's a, you know, one of the reasons I think Underdog has had a lot of success, especially with best ball, obviously, is there's this universal language as far as when we're talking about ADPs and prices, everyone just defaults to the Underdog kind of marketplace. And I feel like DraftKings now has that with DFS. Like if you're talking about a salary, if you're talking about a pump play, like you're talking about the DraftKings salary. Whereas like if you keep changing the scoring and you're continually losing market share, I just don't know how you recover that from that if you have any interest in succeeding at DFS.
Yeah. It's like, what are we going to do? Let's change the scoring. You're like, that's your best idea.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks for you because their customer service is notoriously slow. So you're not going to get any help resetting that password.
I was so relieved because, you know, the traditional format for the Swolecast was, you know, we do position by position. You build a DraftKings lineup, you build a FanDuel lineup. It was like every single time I'm like toggling over to the projection source to get the FanDuel ones. None of us have looked at it. And I mean, we barely looked at the DraftKings slate, but we really hadn't looked at the FanDuel slate. Then you're trying to log into your account, just like these guys are saying, you can't fucking get into the account. And we ended up axing it this year. Now we're doing other stuff or whatever. And I'm like, it is such a relief not to have to talk about FanDuel DFS.
Yeah, I doubt you're going to even lose anything there, you know, by not talking about them.
Don't you think, like, of all the things to kind of point to FanDuel losing market share, don't you think it's not making the CSVs and the data readily available for kind of content creators and anyone else, the high volume players?
Yeah, that's true. They're like really stingy with letting you get their contest data. It's probably EthanGate Fallout. Do you think?
Really? Like, that far back?
I think so. I think someone there really didn't like that EthanGate Fallout, and they just have a strict policy. I mean, I'm totally guessing. I have no idea, but
the chat is just littered with horror stories here. Deleted my FanDuel account last season when they told me I had to reset my password for the 25th time. That was happening to me. 8Game says FanDuel has me blocked from playing under the $3 stuff. I prefer playing FanDuel, but can't play the size or formats I prefer there. So I'm only playing a few single entries. So even the people who do want to play there are restricted where they can play.
A lot of geolocation issues and like, are you a human? Are you a bot? Stuff, problems people have had.
Yeah.
It's definitely a throwback though. The old FanDuel days when FanDuel was number one. Those are the glory days of DFS.
And I mean, we talk about it all the time in regards to sports books, and maybe it's like less of a big deal just the way sports betting compares to DFS, but having a monopoly still, like I love, like I now have the option, I draft a ton of Underdog teams for my DFS action, but like the fact that there isn't more competition in salary cap DFS to offer lower rake, offer more contests, like that sucks for everybody.
Yeah. They're in a bad spot, you know. It's not looking any better, unfortunately, because we need that competition, but they keep raising the barrier of entry with more regulation and stuff, and it's like unlikely to happen unless some big boys get involved. Like maybe ESPN and Penn might like throw a dart in there since they're getting their asses kicked in the sportsbook world.
Yeah.
But we need it for sure. You know, FanDuel, like I think Underdog is like the prime example of like FanDuel's failure. Like some people probably watching this don't know that like Drafters, right?
Yeah.
Was owned by,
or not, sorry. Draft.
Draft.com.
Yeah.
Was owned by the founders of Underdog, and FanDuel bought them and then just never used the product.
Sunsetted it. Like just decided it wasn't worth the hassle of like integrating or in maintaining.
And then of course they famously started Underdog,
and now like Underdog
might be worth more than them, and like if not now, soon.
Yeah, they probably still got them because of the they're owned, is it by Paddy Power?
Right, yeah,
which is massive in Europe. But yeah, I mean, it is crazy. I don't know. And it goes back to that thing too. I forget which episode we were kind of having an adjacent conversation about, you know, people don't necessarily maybe see a ton of opportunity, or let's say entrepreneurs or whoever, in like investing into DFS, but you see the hyper engaged nature of the people who do play these games. And it's like, I do think that can scale. Like, I think underdog best ball is scaling. Battle royales are exploding right now. People are really enjoying playing those. You're not telling me that there isn't opportunity within the salary cap or weekly draft game, you know, arena right now? There has to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's been like no marketing. I mean, I guess I don't watch a lot of legacy TV or whatever you want to call it, but I don't know. I don't see any ads. Remember 2015, 2016?
Oh, man.
It was just everywhere. So, like, they're not trying there. They're not trying to innovate at all. They have, like, their mini monopoly and they're locked in. It sucks. It sucks because the rake's too high. Games are tough and they're not doing anything.
You mentioned getting your ass handed to you in DFS. What kind of contests are you playing? Were you like putting in like 50 in the milli?
All large. So I did the milli. I maxed the milli and then I did the 3 max 150, $150.
Power sweep one.
Power sweep.
Yeah.
Single entry, the 20 max.
Yeah.
And I did 3 into the wildcat. Just got smoked. And I'm like, oh, I got a Justin Fields lineup in this. This feels good. That feels right. Just one in the wildcat. Burrows. I had some Burrows. Geno Smith.
Geno was one of the guys I liked last week.
He's my number one.
Yeah.
My number one QB. My sim broke, so that wasn't good. So the sorting feature. So I had all the lineups, but I couldn't like sort them the way I wanted to, because I broke it trying to fix Showdown on Thursday, and then so I had to use SaberSim to like upload my lineups and then sort through them. Yeah. So that was a pain in the ass, but whatever.
Did you make any big tweaks to your setup heading into this NFL season relative to last year?
No, because it kept breaking. It would all just be sorting stuff. Anyways, it would just be portfolio stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not going to really change the contest sim stuff unless I'm doing a whole new thing.
And do you like, where are you at with it? I mean, we've talked about it on the channel before about, you know, products like SaberSim just bringing along a lot of the field to a level that maybe matched some of your processes that you were using for a long time. Do you still feel like you got some special sauce in there?
Yeah, I don't think they're doing it exactly how I'd want it to be done yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's just not good for like just EV overall, because people are making less donkey lineups. So like you don't want that. But yeah, I think they still have a ways to go. And it depends on the product you're talking about too. And yeah, I don't know what percentage of the field is using it. In football, though, it's a lot less because football's so popular.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it in football a ton. Just football is 17 weeks of an oblong ball that gets, you know, kicked and thrown and hits the ground and goes all over the place. And so,
yeah,
it's tough. You just got to get lucky, you know, run hot for a couple football seasons.
What's been the feedback? You guys have been doing some shows with Davis on the In-Game Syndicate, kind of talking through the beta version of Nerdy's Battle Royale Sims. What has the feedback been to, I guess, that kind of content and just in general, the thought of Sims infiltrating the best ball space?
Seems like people enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're watching it, but a lot of people watch his shows anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we're doing a cross stream on the Endgame channel and his channel for those ones. And most people, I think, either hate or love Nerdy Tenor's constant mechanical keyboard typing.
ASMR. Does he have any interest in figuring that out from a sound engineer standpoint?
I don't know if he does, but I think we could help him with the draft caddy. I think we might be able to get him the info without having to type it constantly. Yeah. Yeah, Davis wants us to add an EV calculator.
So, I heard him talking about this at some point. Yeah.
He says it's $1 million idea, Pete. $1 million idea.
Yeah. Well, Davis Maddock's never been prone to hyperbole, so I'm sure that's correct. I think someone would settle for a six-figure idea if that was the case.
Do you think people would enjoy it as much as he thinks?
So I understand the concept, you know, the Yahoo draft grade, people like talking about that. What I think, like, pre-lock, I honestly wouldn't find it that interesting. I think what would really be interesting, so like in the same way, you know how ETR for the Best Ball Mania 4 finals, they were kind of updating their sims and like the expected value of teams. That's the fun thing where it's like, I'm in the finals and I started out at this expected value and now my team is worth $400,000 heading into the late games. Like that kind of real time EV stuff, I think people would love to hawk. Like if you had an overlay to your teams that you could just filter on Underdog and then see the expected value of that $5 entry, people would dig that.
Mm. I was thinking a side panel.
Yeah, that too.
But overlay makes a lot of sense, actually.
I mean, it would be like watching, in the same way people love watching real-time scoring, you know, like on your DraftKings thing and just like it adjusting. People would love to watch the EV quickly going up after a touchdown or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. It costs money with the cloud and stuff, but yeah. that you could pull off, I think.
Yeah.
The what Davis thinks they'd like is like, this team's worth $8, you know, $5 buy-in. This one's worth $8. This one's worth $3. I got a shitty team here. This one's worth, you know, whatever, $11, and then you screenshot it and post it.
Yeah, I guess the reason I find it's like people now are pretty accustomed to, you know, say with the DFS site, like when I use the solver, it will spit out my expected like ROI on like a lineup. But it's like, it's all based on like those projections. Obviously, if I'm picking plays that even if they're correlated, don't project well, then that's not going to sim out as well. So I'm like less interested in the like pre-lock, how good the lineup is. It's like, I want to see now that this has happened, how fucking good is it?
Right. Yeah. I think it's a little different in best ball because you have more data, you have more info where a DFS sim, you are completely guessing at the field where you could probably get a bunch of data of like who's been drafted exactly, you know, or not exactly, but close, you know, a lot closer than, 30% Tyreek Hill lineups. Okay, what do those lineups look like? That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
But in best ball, it's a lot easier. So your EV calc should actually be pretty decent. That was what we just had this conversation. I'd be interested to get your thoughts on Davis's channel. Where if you're doing an equilibrium strategy or contest sim exploited strategy, either way, they're really driven through projections, like what you pump into it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you use Cardi's projections and he has, you know, DK Metcalf at 30 points projected, it's going to be like, you got to take Metcalf number one overall every single time. Doesn't matter what everyone else does. Or if you're doing a DFS thing, it's going to be all Metcalf stacks or Metcalf solo. He's in 100% of your lineups. But you could also kind of like normalize it or smooth out projections. And I think Battle Royale or best ball in general is really ripe for it. So I'm kind of leading the witness here, but I think it's really, really ripe for it because you have that market data of people gambling, backing it up, and you could use that data. I have some thoughts on how to do it to either smooth out projections or just get rid of projections in general.
Yeah.
And just use that market data.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think that's kind of like one of the secret hacks to BR of just like how little the projections matter, you know, relative to what you're trying to do, where so many times the slates play out in a way where it's like there's the 10 to 12 studs at the top who can really separate and you want to never be passing on those guys whenever you can get them. And then after that, it's like, holy cow, you know, players 15 to 60 are all very, very similar as far as their ranges of outcomes and their ceilings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But if you like the way this direction, it looks like it's going is this kind of more semi direction, just like DFS. Yeah. It's gonna go. No, it's not actually a tier of very similar players like Pete thinks, because you plugged in ETR's projections and they really love Travis Kelce. They love Travis Kelce. So you got to take Travis Kelce here every single time when you probably don't want to do that. Like maybe you should, if ETR is right, maybe they are right. But I think a lot of people who play best ball just see that I'm taking a guy 10 spots ahead of ADP 100% of the time, and they just kind of throw up inside a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're so anchored.
And I do think it's interesting, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seems to, at least when I think about it or I hear people, if they are wanting to get, you know, take an exploitative style in BR, it's normally with players who aren't drafted a ton, like the guys at the end, where it's a little harder to do that. I feel like, say, like your Travis Kelce example, you know, a guy who's going to get drafted and all of them that they're maybe slightly higher on. It's like, what are you actually gaining by having so much of him when he is going in every draft?
Yes. Yeah.
Then you just care about your combos cycling around that player is where that next level comes in.
But this is kind of what I'm getting at, is if you then smooth out the projection source, mm-hmm. then it's almost all combo based.
Right. Yes.
Which is kind of what we want.
Right. So it would be almost like binary. It would be like, just let me know the draft percentage based on this ADP and then the combos right. that I'm getting around them.
Yeah. But I mean, you could throw in your ETR or whatever too. And then it will, you know, you could, depending on your confidence level in them, you could adjust something like that. So it could still do that, but
yeah,
but it's not just forcing in those value plays left and right, which any simulation tool worth its salt is going to do that.
Yeah. The Sacrilegious had an article up on Legendary Upside, and he was looking at like two player combinations and dupe stuff. And I was actually surprised that average percentage of the field was duped at least once, 23.4% across all 15 BR slates, which is, that is a massive number and mm-hmm. shows how correlated players are based on ADP. And just that alone, like, so you're, to your point of like smoothing out projections, like literally even adding a randomization element to the existing ones, right? Just to shuffle it around so you're not naturally funneled mm-hmm. to the same ADP combo, so you're not part of that 23.4%, would be a huge already step in the right direction of playing BRs optimally.
A simulation tool or an equilibrium tool should automatically do that, because they are iterating through various scenarios for the projection. So it's not like Metcalf scores 30 every time. He'll score 3 in some, you know, 40 in others. 30 is obviously a ridiculous projection, but you know what I mean? He'll have a distribution of points projection. So like you should get some variation. But even then you might not get enough if that's what you want. It's like a randomized element. But it doesn't matter. Underdog doesn't allow automation anyways for drafting. So you're going to be the guy there pulling the trigger at the end of the day.
Well, and that's why football's fun, right? Because a lot of the NBA, you know, the non-correlated sports or whatever, like a lot of those guys, they have the projections, they put on some randomization throughout the day, upload new sets of ranks. So they're not just getting the same team over and over again, but still generally getting it in good. And you can just auto a shit ton of teams. That's a lot harder to do for NFL on the sixth man's, where that correlation element outside of what, like a few quarterbacks or whatever, or accidentally getting, two players from the same team that are negatively correlated, you know, stuff like that. Like you have to be there driving the ship to actually make that work.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to, you got me thinking now with like dupes is like, I wonder if like combos you'd want like the top four combos or something, not like, you know, how many combos do I have with Geno Smith? Like, right. I want to see like the top four owned, like combo, like for just dupe purposes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that probably wouldn't be that hard to figure out, right? Because I would assume each specific round you increase, like the dupes become less frequent, but the dupes of like just rounds 1, 2, and 3, you could find the like correlated buckets based on ADP. The 101 lines up with the 2-6 and the 3-1, narrow that band of players who go, you know, between 2-6, 3-1, like a, what, give or take a couple of spots. And then boom, you have the chalk pairing with the 101 at like an outsized frequency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like if you have, Mahomes, Kelce, they're stacked 80% of the time or something. It's like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Well, what's the third piece here? We got to make sure this third piece is not also a Mahomes, Kelsey, whatever that goes together all the time.
Every time.
Yeah.
And
there's info you have. You could download the CSVs, right?
Like, I don't know. Have they made available the week one CSV yet? I don't know if I've seen that floating around yet.
Oh, I don't know. But like, I mean, from your drafts of this week, can you see who you've picked and stuff?
Via CSV?
Yeah. Like you can on BR, you know?
I don't know. I do not believe, I mean, you can like review your teams on the thing. I don't know if you can export them as a CSV.
Oh.
I think there's probably some of the tools, right? Didn't people build some of those Chrome extensions where you could kind of scrape your own?
Yeah, I think so.
Download the CSV. I think that, but I don't know if it's publicly available.
Okay. Yeah. But either way, you can get the names.
Yeah.
And even just from your own drafts, you're going to get, you know, a better guess at that type of stuff.
Yeah. Who do you think, like, you know, a lot of the talk too with this stuff, like who, you know, the people watching the in-game syndicate, because your guys' crowd, I assume your initial crowd was very, you know, DFS focused, the people who signed up. I'm guessing a lot of that crowd hadn't really dipped their toes yet into the BR streets. Have you like heard from people who are like, okay, now I want to check this out since you guys, you know, keep talking about it?
Not really. It's still a lot of DFS bros in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. And then I think we're going to keep building tools and stuff like that and expanding, but I think we're going to keep the like syndicate part of it, its own little kind of barrier to entry.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll change it, but I think right now, like, it's just like, so like, you know, like Shady's in there and Dan, you know, and there's like high level conversations, good questions. And once you start getting a little bigger, like around the 1,000 person mark or whatever, starts kind of water down the conversation. That's how I want to do it. I want to keep it more exclusive. Yeah. And then anything else we can do in a different Discord or something.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that dynamic play out with Discord chats or anywhere too, where there's a tipping point and a lot of the, you know, gated channels end up having better conversation too. You know, just having some barrier of entry is like a really good thing. Like, even if you, I think a really smart idea too, like, even if you're like, I don't really want to charge people, but I want to have like the best possible like Discord community, charge like 49 cents, like literally something laughably small, but it requires putting in your credit card. And you're just opting it. You're saying, I want to be here. I don't want to just have no stakes, fly by, shit post. You know, like, I even just think that smallest barrier of entry would elevate the conversation in a big way.
Yeah. It's like Aldi. You ever gone to an Aldi?
No.
Do they not have those on the East Coast? It's the grocery store where they have a little quarter that you put into the,
to the
cart. Yeah, that's exactly. And there's never a cart left in the middle of the parking lot because everyone wants their stupid quarter, and so they bring it back and get their quarter.
That's so funny.
And then you don't got to hire, you know, homeboy to bring in the carts every day, you know, every hour.
Yeah. How much of though, like, so with the BR sim stuff, because at the end of the day, it is a very simple game, right? There's six rounds. Like, it feels to me like the logical conclusion of it isn't like this super tool, like you said, or like automated. It's just that you have ingrained in you kind of like the optimal way to play this, which I think probably a lot of people already kind of understand the general things with the light correlation and the scrolling the F down, yada, yada. Isn't this ultimately going to just result in kind of like a manifesto of sorts of like, this is how you have to draft BR, you know, like, these kind of mix up your combos here, scroll down at this rate. There's never going to be like the answers to the tests. It's just going to be, this is the optimal way to play this game.
Right. The answers to the tests will have to be exploitive in nature, like, because you're just going to have projections that are better than everyone else. And then I think what the one of the benefits of using some automation is you forget. Like when we were drafting with Dave, Davis is doing 100 things at once. So like, he's a bad example, but like, he was going to take Kelce or somebody, some tight end.
Yeah.
And Dan reminded him, the two teams after us already have tight ends. You don't need to take a tight end.
Yeah.
Right. And there's only two. There's only two people after us before it comes back to us. Like a good tool will not forget. A good tool will never suggest a tight end there, right? It'll be like, yeah, take any running back. Don't take, just do not take a tight end. You don't have to.
Yeah.
And you'll forget, you're human. So I think it'll help. Like, that's kind of like with during BBM, you know, with like the week 17, 16 correlations, like you've drafted a billion times and think about it so much that you could probably pull it off. But a lot of people just, you know, bumping those correlations up and a suggested pick is going to be like more often. If there's a tiebreaker, it's going to get this little boost and it'll suggest some correlation you weren't thinking about.
Right. Yeah. And there is like, I do think that's, again, what makes kind of the BRs fun, is that there is an element of having to go in there and, you know, I don't think you have to do that many to get your head wrapped around the slate pretty quickly, but, you know, getting 10 entries, 15, 20, that's normally like my tipping point where you really start to get a grasp of how drafts go, how you want to do it, how you want to mix it up, what kind of stuff is possible, what feels unique. Oh man, this guy just fell six picks. That hadn't happened in a single one of mine. You know, like, I like that there is a barrier of entry for even like catching up, as opposed to DFS, right? Where I can literally spend no time on the slate and I can go run a solver lineup 30 minutes before lock that is going to probably be getting it in really good relative to the time I invested in it. Like, yeah. I like that you have to spend time to get caught up to speed on BR stuff.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah. Live drafting, you know, people can make, wait, like, yeah. Cause like, you know, you have opponents too. So you don't really have opponents, yeah, like that in making your solver lineup for DFS. So like, they can't make mistakes. Dan gave a cool analogy of why, you know how like when you're playing blackjack and there's always some like asshole who's like, there's a donkey guy there who doesn't know basic blackjack strategy and he keeps screwing up. And then there's someone like, you're costing me money, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there actually, that happens in Battle Royale. Like, that, yeah, actually does happen where, and in poker, you know, where someone could, that's the analogy he used, where if like, you know, someone on your right is raising every hand, for example.
Yeah.
They're playing negatively, negative EV, but they're also impacting you and making you play negative EV because you can't get a lot of hands in that you otherwise would have, and you can't steal blinds.
Right. Like, if someone, you always talk about, you know, or I talk about, you know, stream snipe equity in your streaming, and someone like, you know, so if someone theoretically always wanted to make my life miserable in a BR room and just torch $5 for fun, like, you could make so many of my teams like, so where it's like, okay, Peter's clearly waited to take his quarterback and the only stack option left is Derek Carr. He's clearly doing Derek Carr with Chris Olave. Let me just, as a joke, take Derek Carr. Like, you could really make someone's life miserable in those six person rooms if you wanted to. And to your point, it's like, okay, yes, I'm going to go do another draft. But it's like, you just wasted my time and $5 just because you could pull that lever.
There's the amount of sniping on your guys' streams is still shocking to me. It happens quite a bit.
And I will say, yeah, okay, here you go. Yeah, come seek me out. This is how I win as an underdog investor. I get you torching, you know, your entry fees into the contest to nosedive mine. But I will say that dynamic is actually, even like aside from like the, you know, the intentional snipes in the bigger drafts, the 12 person contest, which we haven't talked about a lot. That's where I'm maybe most interested in what the Sims are going to reveal in the 12 person rooms, because it feels like even more of the Wild West. There's not even unique ADPs. They're just the exact one set from the Battle Royale. But in those, if you're on the turn, like, getting stacks in a regular six person BR, it's pretty easy. Like, you move down to the next guy, whatever. Like, there's almost always a parachute. In those 12 persons, you can be lining up a specific type of team and be 24 picks away from it coming back around and just get absolutely wiped out. And when you're clicking that last button, you're like, this team sucks. Like, it lost. I just torched $25 trying to go to Dallas with the homies. Like, that dynamic is very real in the 12 persons.
How big are those prize pools? Are they way smaller?
So they do have the, like, the goal line stand, which I believe is kind of like the flagship 12 person. It's 4K to first, $9 entry, but most of everyone right now is firing at the Dog Bowl, which is the $25 buy-in, 5,200 entrance, three tickets worth $10K to go to the live final.
And that and that's 12, a 12-man draft?
12. They're 12-man.
Oh, okay. Well, the fact that you have a live final top-heavy also changes things.
Yes.
Quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, I would think a tool, a suggestion tool, would be more helpful in the 12-man. Yeah,
for sure.
I would guess. Yeah.
Well, the thing that's always been the most interesting to me, and like, there's, you know, you can tease it out intuitively, but how the, you know, the onesie positions to me are like almost meaningless. Like in the battle royales, just with only six drafted, and like there's a generally a deep pool, and like the correlations are simple. But how those ADPs then transform relative to the 12 person, and how important are, say, the higher end onesies when 72 players are getting drafted as opposed to 36? Like that part is really interesting to me.
Yeah, certainly the tiers change, because like in the six man, like you're just hit, there's just so many guys at the end of the draft that are viable, you know.
Yeah,
you know, it depends on the week, but and that's where, you know, our kind of suggested strategy comes in, of, you know, if you got a tight end who's going to be picked 100% of the time, or a tight end who's picked 12% of the time, and there's like a point and a half difference, you know, it's pretty obvious who you should take in the sixth round.
Yes.
That's probably not happening, the 12th man.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so week one was really interesting because, you know, it's a full slate, very few injuries, a lot of, you know, there were a ton of options, basically. Like you could get, you know, Keenan Allen, who had 11 targets, you know, was going undrafted sometimes, you know, the 12 persons, like really good plays. I do remember from doing the 12 person drafts last year, by the time you get to the bye weeks and the injuries hit in, it's like, I don't want to scroll down in the 12 man. Like I'm scrolling down to a guy who projects for six touches this week. And so that dynamic does become a lot harder. And that's where, again, yeah, I would actually be really curious. What did the sim say at this point? How much is the ownership discount worth a pretty big projection drop off?
Yeah. Yeah. We should definitely check that. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's still working on dialing in his tool anyways though. So maybe once he gets it down, but he has it for the two gamers. The two gamers also a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Where that tool seems to help a lot more.
How, any noticeable trends in the two gamers? How weird is it having you get with the last pick?
Yeah. There's like, there seemed to be some weird stuff. We didn't do it this week, but last week we did it where, like you didn't want to get stuck on the turn, I think. It seemed like this. We did our uncorrelated best ball series on Endgame, and it seemed like a lot of times the turn in small field, like small, you know, three man, four man, something like that, is like really you could really get screwed. So I imagine that carries over to the correlated sports. We'd have to investigate, but yeah, the end of the turn could be a serious problem in those smaller ones, and also three mans too. Like, you know, you probably should always be careful in three mans, even in best ball.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. There was a question here in the chat from before. Eli said, all right, the small talk is over. Let's get down to the good stuff. By that, I mean Fantasy Cruncher. So I got tagged in a few tweets. I can check again. As of when I checked yesterday, Fantasy Cruncher, the site was just completely down. Let me just double check.
And so see if that's still the case. Yeah, you told me this on DM, and that was news to me because I haven't been using them. I kind of had them as a backup, but then eventually, like, I was barely using it. And which, no shade to Fantasy Cruncher, obviously, it's the best optimizer out there. Yeah, it looks like they're down, huh?
Yeah, if you go in, it will take a while to load, and then nothing. It'll say the site can't be reached. Which is pretty wild for one of, I would be curious, like market share, like let's say before this incident, like what percentage of like the DFS optimizer market they had. Pretty big.
I would love to know that. I would love to know what percentage of people are using optimizers versus sims versus nothing.
Yeah.
Or private, I guess.
And it's been basically radio silence for 9 days. So on the main Fantasy Cruncher feed, has 18,500 followers. On September 3rd, posted. We will be offline for a bit. We'll update when back, no ETA. And then there was also basically he kind of had these other posts almost like as if he was getting hacked, or that there was an issue, like some kind of DDoS attack. I don't know exactly what he was claiming, but no communication for 9 days during what I assume is like the busiest time of the year for acquiring new customers, the most people using it, trying it out, week one NFL. Like that has to be the granddaddy of them all. Pretty wild to have radio silence and just be completely off for your users.
Let me go to the Discord. Am I still on his Discord? I am. The Discord. Oh, the Discord is still open.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And there is people posting.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like Dave is posting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea or details or any inside info at all. I mean, I know you don't either. So
no,
purely speculating, but yes, weird, very weird.
I just think it's crazy. Just again, like thinking of the timing, and you know, not that like optimizers are the hardest thing in the world to learn, but there is like a learning curve to it, getting used to it, being able to do your process quick, being able to redo it if something changes, knowing all the bells and whistles. Like I'm sure there were a lot of people who were left scrambling of like, holy shit, I just assumed, or maybe they're only NFL only people. And it's just like, oh yeah, I'll fire up my fantasy cruncher when the season starts. And then you're having to learn a new opto on the fly. I don't know. It's just wild when you think about that from a business perspective.
There's still pros who use them. Like,
oh yeah.
For sure. So that's crazy. How many subs do you think he has?
It's harder for me to guess like the raw number. I was just going to try to guess like market share and say like, I don't know. It felt like, I don't know, 25 to 30% of the DFS market you would use Cruncher would just be like my guess, which is still a lot.
Yeah.
Well, before this week. Yeah.
Before this week, I'm saying, yeah. 25. Yeah. So you're like 5,000, 10,000 subs.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what are the, so you have obviously the Solver's the new one. Roto Grinders lineup, HQ, has been a big one around for forever. What other big daddy optos am I forgetting about?
Yeah. I mean,
Saber Sim,
but they're mostly sim.
They're more sim, yeah.
Yeah.
But just like classic optimizers, it was always like Fantasy Cruncher, RG,
and Fantasy Labs.
Labs, yeah.
Do they still do it? Labs, but they merge with Grinders. Okay. I didn't even know that.
Someone says DFS Army has one. But yeah, but when you break it down like that, like I assume RG has like 30% of the market.
I asked Justin what percent of his users uses Optimizer. He said like 70%.
Really?
Which seems high for a sim company. But
I use Run the Sims all the time, you know, the sim product, but I never use the optimizer. Not one shade of that. Like the only thing I use an optimizer for is just like I like seeing what the optimal is, but I'm not actually using it.
Or cash lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got its purpose. Don't get me wrong. And if you're really good at adjusting it and stuff like that, yeah, and make your own projections, you could still use it. This guy says 50K easily. I doubt he has 50,000 subs.
That would be a lot. That would be a lot to walk away from. Also, that's the other thing too. Like so much, you know, because the industry is competitive. Other optimizers and sim products are getting better and better. There's more options. I mean, when you lose the trust of your client base of like shit, like, cause even if you come back in the next 10 minutes, everything's online, people's subs are prorated, yada, yada, whatever, best case scenario. It's in the back of your head. What if I wake up on Sunday and I've registered for $10,000 in entry fees and that optimizer isn't there to help me make those lineups?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not good. I don't think he cares if it's not good. I imagine it's just his personality, but also I think they had a huge market share at one point. And so it didn't really matter. I would love to guess. He could be like, feel like we've had this conversation before. Maybe I'm repeating myself, but he could be like, I was number one for 7 years. I made $25 million, you know, and I don't care anymore. And like, and then just one day it just became too much. Someone pissed him off and he's just like, fuck it.
But is it there a more graceful way to exit if that is the case?
Yeah, but everyone has a different personality, but yes, there's definitely that. If that was the case, or maybe it's like a softer version of that, you know, like, he's less motivated. So he's not exiting, but like, it's something very big he's got to fix. And it's just like, all right, I'll get to it.
Yeah. I just think of like, as opposed to like, you can definitely flip your bird to everyone and be like, I'm so rich, bitch, it doesn't matter. But you could also just be like, I'm done with Fantasy Cruncher. Sorry guys. Peace. Like you could actually say that, right? As opposed to like, we're working to get back up and now rate like that. Those are pretty two different approaches.
Right. I can't imagine though, just piecing out. He's got to have that automated pretty hard, you would think.
Yeah.
Where if like, let's say he's making 300K a year, like why not just let it run right out into the sunset?
What is Stochastic doing? Because Stochastic was their biggest DFS partner.
They like just a have lot the Sims.
They just have, so they completely, was that before this all happened? They separated from Fantasy Cruncher? Because that used to be like a built-in thing. Okay.
I don't know all the details. Maybe someone from Stochastic's watching now. They probably is. I think they separated a while ago, and Stochastic just has Sims. Don't think they have an optimizer.
That's wild, though, too, even now, right, to be one of the – and I understand things are moving in the direction of Sims. Sims can replace a lot of what's necessary. I just said I barely use optimizers, but – it's still wild to be one of the biggest DFS sites and not have either your own optimizer or an optimizer partner.
Yeah. I imagine that was because their partnership, they probably didn't want to step on their toes. So they never developed one and then just didn't have it going. And maybe they just think Sims is the next generation. So why even put money and time and effort into an optimizer, right? Which there's some merit to that, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like it did seem like the writing has been on the wall. Like we've been talking about the Sim stuff like well before it proliferated. Like if you were in the optimizer game, I don't know, it would have been, do I acquire an upstart Sim product? Do I start pivoting and trying to build out my own? Like, it just seems like if I ran an optimizer company, those would have been the things on my mind. I would have been, holy shit, this business model might be get swallowed up if I don't move quickly. And yet I have an audience that is perfectly equipped to want the next iteration of this product.
Yeah. Yeah. And someone was telling me, who was it? Somebody was telling me, probably Travis or Uter, some pro, that Fantasy Cruncher would look like it was setting up for a Sim product.
Mm-hmm.
Like they added some stuff that made it like clearly, because it does. You're just totally right. Like, why would they not at some point go like, we got to do, everyone's doing Sims. Even if we don't like them, let's just do them. You know, when you have that huge base and then you could just upsell.
Even in like the pure like bullshit marketing way, in the same way, like how many of the like Fortune 500 companies started, you know, touting blockchain as part of their product just because it was like a fucking buzzword, you know, like at the time when all of that was proliferating. It was like, even if you only had like a very light version of Sims, it's just like DFS optimizer and Sims. Like you just toss that in just purely for marketing. Like, we're not getting left behind. No. We're part of this.
You add AI. AI is the
AI and Sims.
AI simulator. An AI simulator through the blockchain. I told you this, but I brought it up to Davis too. AI Pete, AI Matic. So my buddy does like AI coding.
Yeah.
And he told me he could like take all your podcasts and stuff and then put it into the machine learning and then make an AI Pete, and we could like interact with it.
It just like, and now I don't have to do streams and you can just
add. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know about the visual, but the text, which you can then, you know, narrate, or you could put it in like your Discord and it could have start sit questions and Pete, you know, AI Pete would give you answers. You could have AI Pete argue with AI Davis.
I mean, it is kind of like the classic, what was the movie with Scarlett Johansson? Kind of like that thing too. It really starts to untangle what people are after when they are engaging with, say, fantasy sports personalities. Like, sometimes it is transactional. People just want the confirmation of start sit. But then you realize, like, would people actually want that? Or is it the fact that they know they're talking to a human and getting your actual attention that is the allure? It lays that all out bare of like, hey, God, what are we actually doing here? Because you could just have this AI guy doing the same thing.
You could test that. Like, you could say, okay, here I would say Trey McBride. And then you ask AI Pete and then see what it says.
Speaking of AI stuff, did you see the Bales Kalspiers company launch?
I did. I didn't really look too hard into it. You want to?
Yeah. So it's called Gambly. Bales did a thread about it a couple days ago, describing it as a sports betting chatbot built to help you find bets as quickly as possible. So it's relying, you know, heavily on AI. But it basically takes on like a query thing where he uses the example of like, I want to bet Sam LaPorta to be the second tight end taken in the draft. And then it basically does two things for you, or two or three things. First, it finds all the places where that's even available, because it's like, as opposed to like digging around for it. We all know how sports books are, you know, search is just awful. So it does that. Then it tells you the best line, and then it will preload a slip for you when you click it there too. So basically just like fast tracking the entire finding a bet, line shopping that bet, placing the bet process, all using AI.
And placing it for you too?
Well, through the app, like it would basically be like you click it and it preloads the slip in the same way I share an underdog pick'em entry and I share that link, you click it and it auto loads it. It's like that same concept. Like that link takes you off Gambly to the site, but it's all preloaded there for you, and then you just place the bet.
Cool. What do you think the market is for that?
I mean, it's definitely, I think there's probably two layers to it. There's the sicko market, who would like it, who's already prone to line shopping, but I think probably what they're going for is the hyper mobile casual demographic who this UI. And I haven't seen the UI actually play out on mobile, but the whole thing is if it's that easy to just type in a thing and it's just like, boom, all on your phone, you can be at the bar at Buffalo Wild Wings with your brother completely hammered and get the best line and do it in two clicks. Like, I can see that market share being pretty massive.
I think what we've talked enough about this idea of sports betting and what, you know, how people act. I think our kind of general idea is that like people will either like there's a small percent that would want that and the vast majority don't care.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to put the effort in. I still think that's pretty much true. I do think though that most of these products, a lot of the times people don't even know they want them until you tell them, like week 17 correlations. Like no one knew they wanted week 17 correlations till it got shoved down their throat and then everyone wanted it. So like maybe they can market it to where it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like for sports betting people, they want those easy picks for sure. I don't know. Would people want who do that? Would they buy that instead of like an ETR prop membership? Like that seems like the crossover.
Right. Honestly, like the biggest thing to me that sounded cool wasn't even the line shopping element. I do appreciate that, but it literally is like finding a bet. Like I know, you know, even before sports betting was legal in Massachusetts, and I'd be like sifting through these horribly nested menus on the offshores and I couldn't even find it. I'm like, I just want to bet who's first overall in the NFL draft, and I couldn't even fucking find it. Like just to have the ease of use to pulling it up, because as people are saying in the chat, most people only bet at one book. It would still be nice to just be like, yeah, there's 9 places you can bet this. And it's like, all right, sorry, I don't have an account at PointsBet, but guess what? There's my book. And it made it real easy to just find that, because even typing it into Google to search isn't actually pulling up the bet I'm looking for.
Where are they getting their numbers from? Like pricing, everything. Do you know?
I do know they're partnered with Unabated. I don't know all of their back end stuff of how they're going to pull that. But you do also introduce the immediate thing I was wondering is like, how quickly are your users going to get limited when these sportsbooks get fresh to, oh, this is getting rerouted from Gambly in the same way that happens with Unabated. I think we were talking about that with Elihu too, right? Where there's that tracking stuff can be sophisticated enough to be like, okay, we don't want the Gambly subscribers business, like yeah. auto limit.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. That might happen. Or yeah. Or is it incentive for them to like not provide the sharpest, you know, picks or whatever too, you know?
Cause their model will be right. It's the same old school model of how like RG and the early DFS sites printed, right? It's the affiliate link getting them on there. And so they are going to provide a lot of probably smaller books that have probably pretty insane CPA deals for the site where it's like, hey, you get us a customer, that's worth $1,000 to us.
And it's free?
I have not looked into that. I know they're just beta right now. I just signed up to get like emails or updates. So I don't know what their actual model is going to be. I'm pretty sure it's going to be more like ad driven as opposed to subscription. I could be wrong on that though.
Who is a person that you know that would want something like that?
Davis Matic.
No.
No, I do think it's like, how about this? Like, I think I'm a good proxy for this product because I like to sports bet. I like to get it in good. I don't want to line shop. I've still not opened up accounts on a lot of books, even though it is legal in mass. I'm like a lazy sports bettor. And a lot of times I won't even like make the bet just out of like laziness or whatever. And if I did have something that removed every piece of friction, I bet I would bet more.
Right. Yes. I think I'm in that demographic as well, actually. So, but I still imagine you just don't use it that much.
I think it would really come down to how good is the UI. If the UI is fucking slick and it's fast and it's clean and it's not buggy, I could see it being like a one-stop shop for bettors on their phone.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like that killer, like if you're just making money, you know, that could be a thing, right? Where it's just like, you're just guaranteed, not guaranteed money, but you know what I mean? Like if all their bets are plus EV and the guy's not being a bankroll donkey, like he should make money.
Well, yeah.
That could be a thing.
And I think there's probably some like real time fun stuff. So you think about, you know, like this was an example. I posted this underdog entry the other night, like where I first saw the news that Mostert and A-Chain, you know, they had both missed practice and might not play tonight. And I quickly built an entry and I got Jeff Wilson TD at these pretty crazy long odds. Cause at the time they were just up there as, you know, they assumed he was the third running back. Like what are the odds he scores? And so my three pick was like a 30X. And then later that day, you know, Mostert's ruled out, Achan's a game time decision. I re-clicked the link because I had shared that on X, and my same exact thing was down to a 13X bet. And I think there is some like real time kind of elements there of like, if you could like look for a specific bet where I'm immediately like, all right, these two guys are out. I want to capitalize via Jeff Wilson. Can I have something that shortcuts me having to search and go to all of these books to find these potentially stale lines? Like there's something there, I think, with the speed too, that could be interesting. Again, that's not a casual bettor who's thinking in that way.
Right.
But the speed would be a pretty big value add.
Right. Yeah. It's like, who's the market here? Cause the donkeys, they don't care. You know, they're not going to line shop. They want to bet on the Bears. You know, they want to bet whoever their buddy's betting. So like, you have to make it cool. Like you have to like, you have to like make it a thing that people use this, and then maybe.
Don't you think though, like partly why Underdog and Prize Picks have been able to wrestle away so much sports betting market share? And I think I saw someone post like the top 10 sports betting apps in the marketplace right now, and both of those are up there with all the big boys, is because the app experience is so good and it's felt so easy for casual people to be like, this is just clean. It feels like an Apple interface that's so dumbed down and so simple. Like, I do think that interface goes a long way.
I bet there's a lot to that. The sportsbook interface is very intimidating, I imagine, for someone who has no clue how to sports bet. There's like, what do these numbers mean? But it's pretty easy to understand the like underdogs pick 'em stuff. So yeah, I bet there's a lot of truth to that. I wonder if they'll ever change that. But I think they get like a lot of their money from like a small percentage of the people.
You mean
like mega whales, mega bettors, stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I could definitely see that, but it's also like, you know, still acquiring first time depositors is such a huge initiative for them, where that like the lifetime value of those customers, even non high volume ones, I think is just worth so much money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with like poker and a lot of other things where people like, they feel intimidated. They don't know how to get like, how do I sign up for a table? What do I do? You know, what are the rules? You know, the etiquette at the table and stuff like that. And they just don't want to do it.
Yep.
But the same thing happens with the complexity of the sports books.
Yeah. The other thing that it goes back to, the like tightrope walk that I imagine gambling is going to have to walk with, like the limiting thing is like, okay, I'm looking around for a specific bet and you show me that. But what happens when you turn it on to just tell every user, you're also sending out flash alerts of this is the most mispriced bet, like on the board, you know, or this is the best. This line is so much different than the other ones and everyone's funneling there. Then you run into the same issues of every prop betting service, which is like only a select few people get to enjoy the mispriced line and everyone else is pummeling in after. It's showing it's not down. They can't do it. And then that's a bad user experience in itself.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they might like, how many times have we had this conversation about sports betting content, sports betting products? It's like so hard to make something work for sports betting. It feels like just because you have this weird polarization of the market of the customer, where it's just like the donkey who does not give a shit. They'll see Davis Maddock tweet out, you know, Xavier Worthy props or something. Like, oh, I'll follow Davis. You know, that's like that shit's free, so you can't monetize it. And then you got like sharp people who want to save time. But like, how many people are there that are going to sign up?
Well, the other thing about this is, I mean, Bales is, you know, quite literally probably the biggest thought leader within the like sports betting DFS space. I mean, he doesn't flex that muscle a lot lately, but you can look back to the Top Shot thing and how much sway and influence he had in pushing people to a new market. Like, I do think the success of Gambly, you know, in large part will be due to his influencing and how much content in writing and promotion he does around it. Because when Bales talks about things, they listen, and it'll be fascinating to see how much kind of content he does. Because you go look at I don't know if it's Odd Shopper, some of these guys, even Unabated, they have some videos with, you know, tons and tons of views on YouTube. Like, the content element as the top down funnel is massive, and that's a huge lever Bales can pull. But he's just such a under the radar figure who hasn't been doing much content lately. I'm excited to see if he comes out to start really churning out content to drive subs, because that will be the initial biggest driver for them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's entirely possible. Like, I mean, this is kind of what happened with Underdog, I think, is it just became cool and people, a lot of, you know, you and a lot of people, influencers started using it. So other people started using it and got snowballed from there. And if that didn't happen, it would have been a cool product no one used, or maybe not, but whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And that he'll have that going for him. Like, he Bales, like, you know, you have AI, you have the coolness factor. Like, it will feel like a hip, cool new product that people want to try out.
But how much of the like flow is worth, what, like $1 billion? We looked this up a while ago. Who knows what it's worth now?
Oh, God.
Yeah. How much do you think Bales contributed to that billion?
Well, I remember they celebrated I realize I keep always answering your like guess a number questions in a roundabout way. But I was going to say, like, Top Shot, I think, even felt like a level of guilt because Bales didn't have an affiliate code. They didn't have an affiliate system when he wrote that article. And just knowing that, like, I mean, Bales would have literally, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic, would have made like tens of millions on an affiliate deal from that article. Like, if he had some kind of cut of total spend by new users that he drove, like an absurd amount of money. And they did like a Bales Top Shot day. And I think they donated like a giveaway to like Lucky Trader, because that was what he was working on at the time. It's basically like, we appreciate you for kickstarting our entire ecosystem. Here's a few shekels as a thank you. But yeah, an ungodly amount of flow that entire Dapper ecosystem.
Yep. Yeah. Let's, well, now he needs to parlay that for Gambly, or at least replicate it. I don't know. It's, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. It's a good idea. I'm like kind of pushing back on just the idea of how to like create in that space. You know, I think it's just so hard.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, we've already said, like, we talked about it with KB. We talk about it all the time. I mean, the content side of it is the super hard part. I do think a frictionless tool is intriguing. So yeah, I'll be paying attention. He has, you know, a big time team, obviously Cal and Bales, two of the best, you know, entrepreneurs in the space. They have a ton of, you know, the top devs. They got Ben Dominguez, who I did stuff with at Fantasy Data Pros. He's the one who launched that kind of like boot camp. And then he was working on an AI project, I think called like Huddle Speak or something. It looked really cool for like data and NFL film merging. And Bales poached him. I think he just bought his thing he was working on and said, hey, come work for me on Gambly. So he's like assembled a pretty sick team of like NFL AI type devs. So I'll be excited to see where they take it. I do agree with you. It'll be hard, but I think the upside is pretty enormous.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone could do it, they probably can. What's your guess, Fantasy Cruncher? Do you think they're back in a week? You think they're done? No idea.
I don't know how you come back from this.
I'll just come back and just act like nothing happened.
I know, but with what? Like a fraction of the sub, the user base?
Oh, these degens will sub right back up, Pete.
You think? Because I think once you go past that, like, all right, I signed up for RG or Solver, and I kind of already went through the, you know, the learning curve of getting caught up to speed. And now it's like, why would I deal with this?
He'll lose some, but not enough. Not enough to make him stop, I think. I want to say like 75% chance back in a couple weeks, 25% chance donezo.
All right. If you're giving me, what is 25%? Is that like plus 300 plus? I'll take that.
You're taking the donezo?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
All right. Deal. all right. I got to run. Speaking of pick'ems and underdog, we do have the Shipcast back tonight on Ship Chasing, a little companion stream. We're going to actually go finalize our pick'ems now. I'll post those on the Ship Chasing. And then if you guys want to tail and sweat with us, we're going to hang out and watch the game tonight. Brian, obviously in-game syndicate, caddy, anything else people need to know about?
Now, the caddy, we added spreads and totals for the games. So you can overlay that if you're drafting BRs. And should have ownership up. Projected ownership up for the BRs too. Hopefully soon. Hopefully sooner.
That's rather cool. Than
later. Oh yeah. Hopefully
just using the historical data.
I'll tell you offline how we do it. I don't want to give away any secrets.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. All right, guys. And yeah, speaking of BR stuff, I am going to have my weekly video out on the Deposit Kingdom, doing kind of five scroll the F down hidden gem types. And then I will have like three different angles for how to attack drafts, whether it is a scroll down, maybe a leverage angle, etc. And then I hop in the draft. So got some good feedback on the first video. Those will be up on the Deposit Kingdom channel every Friday evening once the editor is done with it. Appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat. Enjoy Thursday Night Football, and we'll see you guys next time on LOL. Thank you.
NFL football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.